Luke 21, this is verse number 36. Verse 26. That's the one I'm looking for. This is talking about the last days. How many of you know Jesus addressed some things in his word in the Bible about the last days? And we're reading here in verse number 26 in the middle of some of the things he stated concerning the end times. There's a lot we don't have time to get into. But anybody know or believe we're in the end times? If you don't, turn on the news for about 15 minutes and you'll go, okay, we're getting close now. But Luke 21, 20, verse 26. Men's heart, one of the things that'll happen, he says, men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I just want to pick out that first part of that verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, you might look at that and say, is that talking about heart attacks? What's he talking about, hearts failing? No, if you went over to 1 Samuel 17, you can if you want to. I'm not going to turn there, but there's two verses there. Verses 11 and 32, where David said, when David got down to the battle where Goliath was threatening the Israel army, you remember?
Right.
When he got there, Goliath had been already threatening for days.
Right. Yeah.
And the children of Israel, the army, were afraid, shaking in their boots, because he's saying, because he's 9 foot, I don't know, different theologians say different, 9 foot, over 9 feet. Most of them agree over 9 feet tall. Now, that's no, that's beyond Bubba. You know what I'm talking about? That's like, whoa. And so he's threatening, you send one man out to fight me.
Right.
Can't have two, just one. Whoever wins, that will be the ones that the other army serves.
Right.
Well, the Bible said when David got there in verse number seven, or chapter number 17, verse number 11, that they were all the whole army, the Israeli army, was dismayed and afraid.
Yeah, they were.
They had been listening to that voice of fear for 40 days or something like that, and so it came to that time where David got there and it said that whole army, King Saul, how many remember whenever they found him and brought him out of the stuff to anoint him to be king, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. King Saul's a big man. He's a tall man.
Right.
And yet, he's shaking in his boots.
Right.
He's the king.
Yeah.
And then verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17 says, David said to the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. So when he said there, heart's failing, he wasn't talking about heart attacks.
Right.
We have no record there that day anybody had a heart attack.
Right.
Now, don't misunderstand me. These things can create heart attacks.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about people's faith melting because of the things that are happening in the end times.
Come on.
You know what I mean by your faith melting? I mean your faith withers away and fear takes over.
Right.
Men's hearts failing them for what? Luke, chapter 21, verse 26, men's hearts failing them for what?
Fear.
For fear. Say it out loud, for fear.
For fear.
Now, why are they afraid? For looking. They got their attention on.
Yeah.
Notice that verse, the next statement, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. You get your attention on what's going on in our society right now.
Seriously.
And listen enough to the news.
Yeah.
You're not going to be full of faith.
No.
Your faith is going to wither.
Yes,
and I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit alarmed. I'm a bit concerned, not in a fearful way, but I'll put it this way. I just don't like what I'm seeing in the United States of America.
Yes,
I don't like what I'm seeing in some church people.
Yes,
and I'm not thinking of anybody particular here. I'm not talking about that. I just mean the body of Christ.
Yes.
The people just giving in to fear of disease, fear of mobs, fear of stating what they believe or, that they stand for certain principles or truths in our nation, certain, godly principles and things. because they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to be, you know, lambasted on social media. And where is it? Where did it go that FDR said in 1933, we don't have anything to fear but fear itself, he said. Yeah. Where'd that go in the United States of America?
Seriously, come on.
Now, we don't have to have fear of fear either, you know. But you understand what his point is. Yeah. That's the only thing that's going to take us down. See, this is right after the Depression.
Yeah.
1929 is the Depression. Yeah. And they're still in the throes of the Depression. Right. And he stands up in his inauguration and said, we don't have anything to fear but fear itself.
Yeah.
You understand what he's dealing with there is the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's basically, and I'm not promoting fear of fear either, but I'm just simply saying be guarded against fear, because that's really what takes a nation down or takes down the people of God or robs them of a spirit of faith.
Yes,
tell me I'm preaching all right. Amen. So, you know, a lot of people... they're changing, and many of them don't even realize they're changing. I know of people right now that are completely different people than they were just a year ago. And they don't even recognize it, and they think it's normal. No, you've been listening to a voice in the spirit realm, and you don't have the boldness you used to have, and you don't have the spirit of faith you used to once have. Amen. They're acting different. I said, people are acting different. Their attention's on what the world is saying. Yeah, amen. They're not being true to their... I'm talking about the body of Christ now. They're not being true to their nature. Not being true to who they really are. Not being true to the authority that they have. Amen. Now, some people have even gone beyond just being bound by fear, and now they're persecuting people of faith. I'm telling you, that's what's... happening in our culture. If you're a person of faith, well, if you're not afraid of this and that and the mob and all the other things, then you're an enemy of the society. I think it's getting strong out there. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But we as the church should have nothing to do with it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And Pastor Debbie and I, in the last couple of weeks especially, have been persecuted like crazy from people that are Christians. Just lambasted. Not that I care. Their opinion of me is a very small thing. 1 Corinthians 4:3, my favorite verse for the last couple of weeks. Amen. It's a very small thing. But I'm more... concerned about them. That's what bothers me. Not what they can't hurt me. They can't touch me. Amen. To me, what they have to say is about like an ant walking up. I'm walking down the sidewalk and an ant walks up and says, looks up at me and says, I'm going to eat you whole. That's about how much I shake whenever these people talk. Yeah, so I'm not, that doesn't really care. Their opinion of me, I got past that stuff a long time ago. But for their sake, being bound like they're bound and afraid like they're afraid and so caught up with the spirit of the world, it's alarming. They're supposed to be the body of Christ. We have not been given a spirit of fear. Remember what that verse says, 1 Timothy 1:6? We have not been given a spirit of fear. Notice what it says. But of power. I like to say authority. Power and authority. Because that's really what fear comes to rob you of, is a bold spirit of faith and a bold authority. We still have authority over disease. We still have authority over devils. Even in 2020. Yeah. You might say, I haven't received the best God has for me through this whole year. Me neither. But I still got authority. Amen. That hasn't changed. That's not based on my experience.
Come on.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching already better than your amen. But see, people's attention has been caught up with the spirit of what's being pushed out there in the world. And it's getting strong. You and I have nothing to do with it. Amen. It's really designed of the enemy to rob us of our spirit of faith. Because we have another spirit. We don't have a spirit of fear. We have the same spirit of faith, which is the one that spoke said, we believe and therefore we speak.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, that's who we are. You know, what's going on in our nation right now is really not a, you know, battle between people or political parties or anything like that. It's a spiritual battle at its core. Down at the core, we're dealing with spiritual forces. One, some of you might remember the quote. I won't bring up who it is because I don't like to try to. I try to avoid things as much as possible as far as political things. But one particular political leader said something the other day. Don't let COVID-19 dominate you.
Come on.
And man, that got maligned and persecuted and chewed up and spit out.
He is right.
What's that? That's a battle between faith and fear right there. I got good news for you. Faith is greater than fear. Faith is greater than fear.
Hallelujah.
And so fear really is a strategy of the enemy to keep our faith from working for us. Amen. It's particularly mentioned to be something that we're going to have to watch out for in these last days. Because he said, this is all this in Luke 21, this is all about the end times. So guard your heart against the spirit of fear. Amen. Because it's really on the march out there. And if you're not marching to the beat of that drum, you're a bad guy right now. I'm talking about in their eyes, not in God's eyes. You understand. So, notice what it says here. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, what does that mean? He's talking about men's hearts failing to produce for them. Men's hearts, because how many of you know that we are God's garden? And God plants his imperishable seed into our hearts. You know, remember that verse, ye are God's garden. And he's talking about our spirit man, the soul of our heart is God's garden where he puts his imperishable seed. And he expects to get a harvest, just like a farmer plants corn and he's expecting a harvest. God plants his word in us to get a harvest. Really, the harvest is all ours. But really, it blesses him. It blesses the kingdom of God because we're no longer bound. And free people can help other people be free.
Amen.
So he gets a harvest out of it.
Yes.
But really the biggest benefits are ours.
Yeah.
How many of you know there's two verses in the New Testament? Romans 8, whatever, 15. And the one over there in Hebrews 2. I don't remember the verses. Maybe 12, 14, somewhere down and through there. 14, 15, Hebrews 2. But both those verses talk about the bondage of fear. God has not given us a spirit of bondage, Romans 8:15. The spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is bondage.
That's right.
Fear opens the door to bondage.
Yes.
Then Hebrews 2, what is it, 14 and 15? 15. It talks about there, God delivered us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Fear is the devil's faith.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Fear brings the very thing you're afraid of. Fear is a morbid thing. The very thing you're afraid of, you are by being afraid of it, you are attracting it. That's why it's such bondage. It's like trying to get rid of something stuck on your finger. Maybe you were gluing something together and you got a little piece of paper on your finger and you're trying to get it off. I mean, it's stuck.
Yeah.
That's what fear does.
Yeah, that's good.
It's bound to you.
Yeah.
And you say, I don't want this. I'm so afraid. I don't want this. But see, the fear is what's binding you to it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it's a morbid thing. It's really the devil's faith. And if we learn that, remember that woman, I was just talking to Matt Slaymaker before the service about a woman in healing school that I referred to so often, that I kept noticing she was there for the week, And she was, after 3 days, I noticed the words just, you know, in the spiritual realm, you get over preaching, you can see and know some things sometimes. And I was aware that the word was hitting her and just bouncing off for 3 days. So after the third day, after Wednesday, I sat down with her just to see if I could locate what that was. That it was bouncing off. And in talking to her, I realized she went, because she had been diagnosed with cancer. She came to healing school to be healed of cancer. And she was healed. But she came as a nurse, having all the knowledge of all the conditions and all the stages of cancer and all the okay, this is going to happen next and this, you know, and all that. You know, as a nurse, she's trained in the medical field. Nothing wrong with being trained in the medical field, but you have to guard, you have to stay in faith.
Exactly.
You have to stay in faith. So, but she was afraid, bound with fear. I sat down to talk to her, and fear just started coming out of her. Because, you know, she's got two little, if I remember, it was two or three little girls. And she's, you know, spending every waking moment with those girls because how much time am I going to have with them, you know, and they won't have a mama. And see, what is fear? It's confident expectation of evil.
Yeah.
Or something bad happening. Actually, it's more than that. It is not only the confident expectation of evil, it is making... what's the word? It is making plans accordingly. How many of you know faith has the confident expectation of full receiving? And we make plans accordingly. Yeah. Faith gets ready. Noah had faith. What God said about a storm coming, a rain, you know, a flood coming, and he got ready. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Faith gets ready for the fulfillment of God's word. Faith gets ready, but so does fear. Fear gets ready for the very thing that you're afraid of coming to pass. Remember, Job said, the thing I feared has come upon me. Thing I feared has come upon me. So that brought it into what really actually what he said is the thing I greatly feared come upon me. That thing he brought that into his life through fear.
Yes, he did.
And so this lady in healing school, she was bound. I could tell by sitting there talking to her. That's what that word that I'm preaching every service for 3 days. That's what that's what's causing that to bounce off. The fear. And so I had a prompting. Take her over to Hebrews 2, where I just referred to. He delivered us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of something subjects us to the bondage to the very thing we're afraid of. And so I had a prompting to go over there and read that verse to her. And I read it several times. I had her read it several times. And I wanted her to see. Because now listen, some people... they're bound, but they're bound ignorantly. I say ignorantly, I mean without knowledge. They're not aware of what Satan's doing to them.
Right.
You know, you can be bound with full knowledge of why you're bound, but you can be bound and you're not sure what's tripping you up. You ever been in a place in life where you're like, I know I'm thinking wrong about some things. But I can't quite get my fingers on where. Lord, help me. Help me know where I'm thinking wrong here. And how many of you know the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart? That's how you're going to find where you're thinking wrong. You just keep meditating on that Word. It'll reveal it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It'll reveal it. This woman was bound by fear, but... she was sincere. She didn't realize what was tripping her up. How many of you know that doesn't make you a bad person because you're bound by fear or bound by unbelief? You could just not know. You just not know the strategy. Remember the Bible said, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Maybe you just don't know his strategy. And so you've been falling for it, but you didn't realize it. This woman was in that situation. She didn't realize it. And the reason I know she's in that situation, didn't realize it, is what she did as soon as she saw what she was doing. Oh, man. I showed her that verse, had her read it a couple of times. Who through fear of death, actually verse both of those verses. Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I just kept having, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I said, did you notice the very thing that... a person is afraid of, they become subject to.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not ruling over it, it's ruling over you.
Yeah. Come on.
Subject means you're under the control of something.
Yeah.
And that woman, she saw that. She looked at that verse. How many have ever looked at a verse and then really looked at it?
Yeah.
She read that verse and she went, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to pray for her. That woman slammed that door shut.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She said, I see it. She said, I've been given place to this through fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And she closed that door before I could even pray for her.
Praise
the Lord.
She went back to her doctor. That was there in Tulsa. She went back to, I think it was New Hampshire, if I remember right. Went back to her doctor, and the doctor, she had more tests, and the doctor said the cancer is completely gone. It was back here. Completely gone. Later, she opened the door to fear again, and it came back. We went up there in New Hampshire and got that thing off of her again. And she went back to her doctor, and she was healed again. The doctor saw it had left. Then he saw it had come back on his scope, on his whatever test. Right. And then he saw it was gone again. And then we left. And I'll tell you the problem. She was going to the wrong church. Because that pastor sat over there like, whenever we... Because she invited us to come and talk to her again because it had come back on her. We were up there in the area, so we went up there. And the pastor said, yeah, that'd be fine. But boy, he didn't like the faith message. So he's over there. And so really, the pastor wasn't helping her. And she's in the wrong church. I'm not trying to make people, you know, join our church. But you got to find a place where you're getting the word. You got to get the word. So these things are real. Jesus ministers healing through the Spirit. When I say the Spirit, I mean the Spirit of man. The Spirit of God dealing with the Spirit of man and dealing with spiritual issues such as fear, unforgiveness, worry. And the thing that is manifested in the natural realm now has no root to perpetuate it. And as soon as the spiritual root is cut off, the thing in the natural realm doesn't have anything to cause it to live anymore, and boom, it's gone.
That's right.
This is so real to me. So real. It needs to get real to you. And it doesn't take long. This woman showed me. It doesn't take long. She closed that door, and she said, just like that, she said, all the pain left. That very moment, she said, all the pain left. And she went back to her doctor, and the doctor showed why it left, because the cancer had left.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come with a stethoscope and his bottle of medicine. I'm not preaching against that. You understand? I'm simply saying he ministered healing from the spiritual realm.
Right.
Which meant he had to deal with the things that are trying to get into men's spirits. And I'm telling you, if you need to go to the doctor, I'll be the first one to help you pay the medical bill. So don't get me wrong. But right on the other hand, we've got to not only have our eyes on dealing with the things that are trying to get on the inside of us. Are you with me this morning? And so fear is a toxic spiritual substance. It pollutes faith and dilutes its ability to exercise one's rightful place of authority. It hinders our ability to conduct the power of God. Are you with me? So those men in the Israeli army that day over there in 1 Samuel 17, they'd been listening to Goliath for all those days. And notice they were attending. Their attention was on what Goliath was saying rather than their attention on the covenant. The covenant said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life.
Come on.
That included Goliath.
That's right.
Glory to God. No man, God told Joshua, no man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is after that, and they knew that, but they weren't meditating in that. They're listening to Goliath. Get your mind off all the yakety yak yak and all that would distract. There's a lot of yakety yak yak out there. Just turn it off.
Amen.
preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. Fear is a spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's a spirit. It talks to you. Amen. Because it is a spirit, it talks to you. What's it trying to do? It's trying to get your attention. Amen. And sometimes it'll slam you and alarm you. There's three different verses in the Old Testament that talks about sudden fear. And what that really means is, sudden fear means it'll slam you. You ever been just all of a sudden attacked with fear? You got a bitter taste in your mouth. Your body even reacts to it. Fear is not a physical thing. Fear is not even an emotion, although it'll produce emotion. But it's really not. It's a spirit. It's something in the spirit realm. And it'll attack your mind. And it'll attack your heart and try to get you afraid to keep your heart and your mind from functioning right. Amen. It'll try to get your mind to not think right. Because, remember, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. It'll try to, see, it's there to try to keep your mind from functioning right. And you start thinking thoughts that are not based in reality. They're imaginations. Imaginations are magnified over reality. Remember the Bible said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You didn't get that. They're running from nothing.
That's right.
Running from nothing.
All in their mind.
Yeah, it's all in their mind. Something made up.
You got it.
I'll guarantee you, you go to David whenever you get to heaven and you ask him, see if I'm not right. David, hi, I'm from Spirit of Faith. I want to ask you something. You're the one that said, we believe and speak. We have the same spirit of faith as you have. I'm from a church named Spirit of Faith. I want to know something. Nice to meet you, David. What was the biggest thing you had to deal with when Goliath came out there threatening and all that? Oh, he said, I guarantee you, he'll say, it wasn't Goliath. He's a piece of cake. It was what was coming out of him. What he was inspiring. What the spirit realm, what was coming against me in the spirit realm. That was the biggest thing that I had to overcome. All who do so, all who succeed do so in the presence of fear.
Hallelujah.
If you're afraid of, this is in the natural realm. But if you're afraid of riding a roller coaster and you want to whoop it, you're going to have to get on it. Afraid.
Come on now.
He said he'll go with you. Just deal with that thing.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the way you got to treat these things. We've got to treat fear as if it's a sin.
Come on now.
Pastor, is it a sin? Well, God over and over commanded us, fear not. Somebody said there's 365 fear nuts in the Bible. I don't know. I've never counted them. But if that's true, you got one for every day. Praise God. So if God said, fear not, then it's wrong to fear.
That's right.
We got to look at it that way. Otherwise, we'll not think right about it. And we'll just think, well, it's just a problem. No, it's not a problem. It's wrong.
It's wrong.
Well, I can't help it. Well, poor Jesus didn't know that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We got to correct him because he didn't know. I just can't get free from fear.
Come on.
Got to edit the Bible.
Get the
unbelief version out.
No, thank you. I want the truth.
You want the truth.
That's right.
So we can. God wouldn't ask us to do something we can't do. Right. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. What's the understood subject? You and I.
Right.
So if we're afraid, we let ourselves be afraid. You ever read over there? I don't have the reference in front of me. I got it up here in my notes. Maybe I can find it and you can write it down. But you ever read that? I think I can find it. Let me try to find this. That verse that talks about fear. Here it is, Revelation 21:8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's some pretty bad company. The first one was fearful. You know why? Somebody said, well, I haven't quite looked at it that way. Well, it's time we do.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Because we won't deal with it right.
Come on.
If we don't see it as just sin. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
And guess what? Why is fear such bondage and so wrong? Because it'll make you disobey God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Not that it has any power to make you do anything, but you are allowing it to make you disobey God.
Yeah.
You remember King Saul over in the Old Testament. Remember the prophet came and said, now, go to this battle, and I think it was the Amalekites, if I remember right, and wipe them all out. And whenever that you don't bring back the herds, wipe out the herds, and just destroy the whole place. And you remember he brought back the sheep and the goats, and he thought he had a better idea. And so, remember, Samuel hears the bleeding of the sheep, you know. And he said, what is that? And he said, well, you know, the people said we ought to. And Samuel said, I don't have the reference in front of me, but you remember the story. Yeah. Samuel said, it's better to obey than to offer sacrifices.
Right.
Better to obey. The commandment was destroy it all.
Exactly. Yes.
And you disobeyed.
Right.
Yep.
And Samuel confronted Saul about it. And here's what Saul said. I don't have the verse in front of me, but you go over there and read it. You'll find out that King Saul said, I was afraid. I feared the people.
Yeah.
He said, I have sinned and I have disobeyed because I was afraid of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did he disobey God? Fear. Fear. Amen. That's why this is such, this here in Revelation 21:8, is fear is in such bad company. It'll make us disobey God. Oh, God said do that, but I can't. Who said you can't? You've been listening to a fear. Well, I mean, if I do that, I'll fail. See, there's all kinds. Somebody told me one time, I've never looked at it. They said there's a dictionary this thick full of phobias. The medical dictionary, I don't know. Do you have ever looked in there? There's a bunch of them. Just a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, fear of everything.
Yeah.
Fear of small places. Fear of wide open spaces. Fear of crowds. Fear of being alone. Fear of failure. Fear of anything. I mean, fear of diseases. Fear of bacteria. I mean, people that just, you know, always wiping it down with antibacterial stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong to wipe stuff down with antibacterial, but to do it every hour, you know.
Yeah.
And they say there's a whole dictionary full of phobias like that. Fear, the devil will come and say, you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. See, he's producing fear. You know, you're going to end up in divorce like your mama and your daddy. Or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, or, you know, you failed in business, so you can't ever do that again. You'll fail again.
Come on, well.
You can just go on and on and on and on and on.
Yep.
Fear of getting in front of people.
Come on.
Fear of speaking publicly. Fear of all kinds of fears.
Yep.
We shouldn't have any of them.
No.
No, not a one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's a strategy against our faith life. How many of you know that's some pretty bad stuff there? Fearful is in the company of some pretty bad stuff. So what happened here, these men, these Israeli soldiers, talking about back here in 1 Samuel 17, that thing was talking to them through Goliath. How many of you know there's people today talking fear? And their problem wasn't that Goliath was talking. Their problem was that their attention was on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the devil loves to speak boisterously.
Oh, yeah.
I found out in the last couple of weeks, if you don't yield to the spirit of fear that's on some other people, they'll just rail on you.
Yeah.
And they can't even talk.
It's the truth. It is the truth. Yes, sir.
Write mean and nasty letters and can't even put their words together.
Yeah. Come on.
But see, I only bring it up because I haven't thought about it all week, but I'm just talking about fear. I'm just not, my attention's not on that. Amen. When David got to the battle, he'd been meditating in his covenant.
Yep. Yep.
And all its privileges.
Yeah.
He'd been out there practicing faith on the lion and the bear. Isn't that right? And he'd been planting that word in his heart. And he was connected to God through faith in the covenant rather than connected to what the enemy was doing and being controlled by fear. And so David's heart produced the right thing when he stood in the presence of Goliath. But it didn't start that day he stood in the presence of Goliath. You understand that? He had been meditating in the privileges that his covenant gave him. And that's really what he talked. In fact, that's the only thing he talked when he stood in front of Goliath. He never called him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. See, that's covenant talk. Uncircumcised is all about the covenant. In other words, he's not in covenant with God. He's uncircumcised. We, through our circumcision, are in covenant with God. And part of that covenant is no man will be able to stand before us all the days of our life.
Amen.
And that includes you, big fella.
Come on.
In fact, he didn't even call him a big fella. He just called him an uncircumcised Philistine. How many of you know you don't compare the size of it to you, you compare the size of it to your God.
Amen.
And to your covenant.
Yeah.
Ooh, glory be to God.
Amen.
And so that's what he was full of when he stood in front of Goliath. Amen. All the Israeli soldiers, they'd been they filled up with fear every day. They went out and got their daily dose. Goliath come out and let's go get our daily dose of fear. Listen to what Goliath is saying. Oh, oh, oh. That's what you do when you turn on the news media every day. Amen. Not trying to be mean on anybody. I don't know who I'm talking to. Must be the person behind you, probably. Glory. Glory to God. What are you meditating on? What's your mind full of? That's going to determine if you're built right whenever tests and trials come. Hallelujah. I tell you how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You just get real strong and be reassured of His covenant, what He said. You just build that into your spirit. Build that into your spirit. Build that into your spirit. Meditate on it day and night. And just pass up all that the devil's saying out there. Amen. Then Goliath's words won't move you. Because how many of you know he came out there and said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And David answered him every single time. He didn't just listen. He answered. Amen. Hallelujah. He had a bold confession of faith, didn't he? And so, Psalm 112, verse number 7. Go over there. Psalm 112, verse number 7. Just talking about how fear works and how to overcome it this morning. I'll guarantee you, because I know I found it true in my life. So I'm not just, coming down on you. The reason I know this is because I found this in my life. There's more fear going on than sometimes we want to admit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What keeps us from acting as if we never would fail?
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Right.
Amen. Here in Psalm 112, it says in verse number 7, Psalm 112, he shall not be afraid. Talking about the righteous. Let's back up to verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid. Now circle the word moved in verse 6 and afraid in verse 7. So he's talking about being moved by fear. He'll not be moved by fear at evil tidings. Do you ever notice how fear gets a hold of you? Or how fear comes? It comes with a bad report. Remember Jairus? He was standing before Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. And then the report, because it took some time. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. Took some, delayed the progress to Jairus' house a little bit. And finally then a report came from Jairus' house. Don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. And the Bible said immediately. What is that? Mark 5, what is that? Verse 36, something like that? Verse 35, 36, somewhere in there. Immediately, Jesus turned around and said, fear not.
Fear not.
I mean, he caught that thing before it even got planted.
Amen. Amen.
Fear not. Why? Where was the fear coming from? It's coming from that report. Jesus was skilled with spiritual things. And he was helping. Aren't you glad he'll help you and I as the author and finisher of our faith? He'll do for us what he did for Jairus. He'll help us by being skillful to help us be skillful in spiritual things. And we'll recognize it before we get to church even. Well, I caught it. Gotcha. You're trying to get on the inside of me. I'm not taking that evil report in. I'm not going to be moved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so Satan really has designed fear to move us off of our rights and privileges in Christ. Hallelujah. He can't do it. I said he can't do it. Now, it says, my heart is fixed. Look at verse number 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Lord, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So there's fear there in verse number 7. And also fear is mentioned in verse number 8. And he's talking about not being moved. In other words, and our heart being established. So he's talking about our heart being established in our rights and privileges and not being moved from that by fear. Because of some report other than the Word of God. Am I preaching all right? So, really, you and I are supposed to be moving mountains, not letting fear move us. Amen. You ever, you know, if one of your friends drives a Chevy pickup truck and it gets stuck in the wintertime? I'm going to preach that over here, or maybe... Maybe they have a Dodge or something like that.
Dodge? What?
And they call and need you to push them out.
Yeah.
So you get over there and you get behind and you start pushing. Do you realize if your feet start slipping, you can't push that truck?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You got to have good grip and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're ushering up here this morning. But so really, you can't move mountains if your heart is being moved by fear. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Say to this mountain, be thou removed. You can't move something if your own heart is being moved by fear. Like you can't push that truck out if your feet keep slipping.
That's right.
They keep moving.
That's right.
Pastor Jay, that's good preaching. I know. The Lord gave me that illustration. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I can't let my heart be moved. Thank God for the Word. So, these things will talk to you. Fear will talk to you. As a spirit, because fear is a spirit, as a spirit, it has a voice. And I'm not talking about audibly you'll hear it, although you can hear people talking, speaking for it. Whatever comes to their mind, they're speaking. But whenever it comes to you as a thought or as a suggestion, it's not an audible voice. But it is true, I mean, that something is talking to you in the spirit realm. Comes to your mind. It comes from out here. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. And it comes from out here, a suggestion to your mind. There's been several, well, let me back up. From 1999 to 2000, 2002, 3 years there, where Pastor Debbie and I's lives were attacked in the financial realm, other areas too, but in the financial realm like crazy. Just, it was getting funny, you know. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. It was just, it's obvious he's trying to oppose us here. And there were other things, I won't get into it all, but the main thing I'm saying is, after we got on the other side of that, and there were times, you've heard me describe times, in order to keep my sanity, I'd wake up in the nighttime because there's bombarding thoughts. You're going under. You're going to go bankrupt. All these things. And they're just bombarding. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just hounding you, hounding you, hounding you. Manic attacks, you know, against your mind. And to keep my sanity at times, I'd have to wake up because if I woke up in the nighttime, those thoughts would be there. I mean, it's like he's sitting right there on my pillow just yakety yak yak. And I'd have to quote the scriptures and answer that. I'm more skillful with this than I used to be.
Yeah.
But back then at the level I was at, it just took me hours sometimes at night to get that thing to shut up. Now, I didn't address it right. I was just quoting scriptures to keep my mind on the right thing. But right on the other hand, you should be addressing the very thing that's speaking.
Yes.
There's a whole teaching there. But the point is, that thing, I'd get that thing off of me and get it shut up by just quoting the word sometimes for a couple, well, an hour sometimes, or 2 hours. Well, we got on the other side of that. But how many of you know, if you've ever been through anything like that, something, the thoughts every now and then will try to bombard your mind again. You're going to go under again. You're going to go under again. Anybody? How many of you know he doesn't make threats? And these things are threats. Satan doesn't make threats against you about things that aren't pertinent to you. In this time, I've been through, this is about three or four times of seasons since 2002 that I went through a period of time where that thing's just yakety hounding me. You're going to go under. You're going to fail. The ministry's going to fail. You're going down. And just somebody said, why? Sometimes there wasn't even anything in the natural realm that he was pointing to. Sometimes there was. But sometimes it was just memories of all that happening.
Come on.
I mean, you know, you're deciding which bill to pay.
Yes, sir.
And I don't mean because it's due tomorrow. I mean, it was due last week. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm just saying that thing would try to come back and hound us. You know, that's going to happen again. That's going to happen again. That's going to happen again. And what was that? That was him trying to get back in.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I have never, you need to get a hold of this. I have never struggled financially unless I was yielding to fear.
There you go. Amen.
Unless I gave into it, the fear of it in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
That's it.
As long as I've kept that fear out.
Yeah.
How many of you know it's one thing for it to come?
Yep.
One thing for thoughts to come.
Yes.
Or the suggestion to come.
Yeah.
You haven't yielded to fear because it came.
That's right.
But it's another thing to turn that over in your mind and start taking Satan's thought and thinking it after him.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean when I say I've never had financial trouble from that day, from 2002 to till this, unless I started giving in to that fear. Three different times here at the church, the finances, just for some strange reason, it was probably more spiritual than anything else, just the finances just went, I'm talking about since 2000, since we came here to pastor, just went like that, just dropped off the cliff. And I mean, so, and I'd be looking at it and say, and the devil would say, it's going to happen again. Remember, like he was reminding me of that attack, 1999 to 2002. It's going to happen. See, it's happening. See. You know what I'm talking about by the escalation in my voice. You know what I mean? It's getting tense, and I'm starting to be afraid. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
See, what is fear? Confident expectation of evil. And now I am confidently expecting that the finances to get worse. I'm not expecting to see it turn around. I'm like, it's going to happen again. I hope it's not 3 years this time. You know, all those thoughts. Don't tell me I'm not preaching good.
Yes, you are. You're preaching good.
So every time, whenever that started coming, I started falling for it. For a period of time, I started falling for it until I realized, wait a minute. Wait. I know better than this. I know better than this. And every time I usually go, first of all, over to Job 3:26. Thing I greatly fear has come upon me. And I realize I'm opening the door to this. This is a spiritual thing. Spiritual attack. You realize these things come in the spiritual realm. That's what I mean by a spiritual attack. Even if it's a thought to your mind. Fight it, Vince. In the spiritual realm. You understand what I'm saying? Deal with it in the spiritual realm. And your body will be whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Always answer those thoughts. Always answer the suggestions. Always answer what he's saying. It's going to happen. It's going to, you know, your heart's going to fail, so forth. Answer it. As long as you hold him in that realm, he can't touch you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, I realized, back to this financial thing, well, the church finance, what all, I realized what I had done. And I did like that lady. I closed that door. I said, no way. Do you know whether you realize what you're doing? You know, just because you preach it doesn't mean you're living it perfectly.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. It's true. Amen. I heard a preacher one time. He said he was speeding and he got pulled over by the police. And one of his congregation, this is in Tulsa, one of his congregation members went by and saw him. And they still told him next Sunday. Isn't that nice? They told him, Pastor, I saw you pulled over by the policeman.
Oh boy.
And the pastor said, I'm anointed to preach it, but I'm not anointed to live it. I got to live it just like you do.
Yeah.
I got to crucify my flesh just like you got to crucify you.
Yeah.
So true.
We won't know if you just be quiet. Testimony time. What would we do without Miss Sandra in the church? So you know, you can preach it, but you gotta live it. So here I was falling into fear. Although I could preach it real good. But here I am not practicing it. So I realized it. I said, nope, I see what I'm doing. I gave consent to the enemy.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
Do you realize, the Bible says, give no place to the devil.
Right.
Give no place. What does that mean? He can't just move in and take a place.
No. Right.
With us believers, he can't just move in and take a place.
Hallelujah.
All right, from now on, I'm just going to preach to you. You help me preach so much, I'm just going to preach to you.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Yeah.
So I was given consent. Mm-hmm. Whether ignorantly or fully aware of it, consent is consent.
Yep.
And so I said, I see what I'm doing. And I closed that door. God is my witness. How many of you know liars that said their liars go to hell? Revelation 21:8. We read it.
Yeah, right.
God is my witness. Every time I closed that door, the very next service, boom, there came back. Just almost like the Bible's true. You got to get to the place, this is the realm you deal with it in. You deal with it in. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God forevermore. Don't talk about your fears. Talk to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm just so afraid. I mean, the devil's saying this, and the devil's saying, yeah, and God's talking too if you would listen to him.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Brother Charles Capps one time said the Lord, he kept going to the Lord and telling the Lord what the devil was saying. I know, but the devil said, and he said, God said to him one day, he said, I wish you'd stop telling me everything the devil's saying.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, God, they're threatening to lay me off work, and I'm not going to have a job, and I won't have any money, and I...
Come on.
He's up there going, yes, and?
Yeah. Yeah.
And? He's waiting for his word to come out of our mouth.
Yeah.
So he's the apostle and high priest of our confession, watching over his word to perform it.
Yeah.
Woo, glory.
Hallelujah.
And so, but if you say, my God supplies all my need,
come on now.
He'll go, angels, get on it.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Woo, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
It sure beats worrying and afraid and sweating and pounding the floor and crying and boo-hooing and... Amen. So don't talk to God about it. Talk to it. Jesus said, speak to your mountain. David was talking to Goliath, not talking to God about Goliath. Amen. Oh, God, Goliath. Oh, God, Goliath. He didn't even talk to God about Goliath. He just talked to Goliath about God. Hallelujah. Hey, glory be to God. Oh, I tell you, the spirit of faith will make you cocky. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know these things have been talking to you? It's time for you to start talking back. That's what David did. Goliath said and David said. Goliath said and David said. Goliath said and David said. As long as Goliath was talking, David talked more. And David made sure he had the last word. Because the last word stands. If the devil's going yakety yak, just keep on speaking the word. Just keep on. It is written. It is written. It is written.
That's right.
Just keep on answering him.
That's right.
And do that with fear. Just keep answering fear. Just keep telling it what the word says. Telling it what the word says. Glory be to God. This was a spiritual battle. It wasn't really a battle between Goliath and David. It was a spiritual battle between faith and fear. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll bless your life immeasurably if you'll learn to overcome the growl of the lion and the roar of the bear. Because you'll be ready for Goliath when he shows up. Remember David said, you know, King Saul said, well, you're just a little kid. He said, I stood and I defeated the lion and I defeated the bear. What was he doing? See, those lion and bear, they came for those sheep. He's watching sheep. He's a shepherd boy. So he's watching sheep. And those sheep were his inheritance, his prosperity.
That's right.
That was his father's farm, their business, you might say, and where they were getting their money and their produce and so forth. And the lion and the bear came for that. And he didn't just sit back in fear and go, oh, I hate it when the lions come out of the woods. No, he went after them.
That's right.
Because he had been meditating in his covenant.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He's like, okay, I'm not letting this happen. So he went after him and killed him.
Yep.
I heard a couple of weeks ago, a guy in California was jogging, and a mountain lion came after him. And he strangled that thing with his hands. Took that thing around the neck and just went and squeezed the jugular vein. Because it tried to pounce on him. Well, that's mean. Oh, come on, brother. It's your life or his.
There's no question.
David didn't think it was mean. He came back with Goliath's head, man. He's like, this is not a politically correct sermon, but it is in the Bible. Hallelujah. So that's what David did. He took that lion and that bear. So I'm sure they growled at him. They roared, you know. But he overcame what was coming at him through that roar. You know, Satan walks about as a roaring lion. Therein is the deception. The roar is where the deception is. The roar is designed to create fear.
Yeah, right, right.
It's one thing about fear. It likes to be boisterous.
Yeah.
The Bible said when Peter was walking on the water, he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid. That's the way fear talks, boisterous, loud. I mean, it tries to get louder than God. But the loudest voice isn't always the correct voice.
That's right.
It's not always the one that's true.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We got a lot of big mouth people in America right now. That doesn't mean they're telling the truth.
Right. Come on now.
Boy, they're loud.
Yeah. A little hot air.
I'm having too much fun to quit. Amen. Why is it going to be an immeasurable blessing for you to overcome the growl of the lion and the roar of the bear? Because there's a giant coming. And if you can overcome a roar and a growl, then whenever you meet somebody talking in a language you understand, that makes sense to your mind, you know what I'm talking about? That can be more intimidating.
Yeah.
But you've been practicing.
Yeah.
I said, you've been practicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You found out that the roar and the growl and the intimidation and all that is nothing. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And it'll do you a whole lot of good to find out all that was nothing. All that, all that, rah, rah, it's a death sentence, rah. You receive your healing and you go, all that was nothing.
Come on, yeah.
And you go, oh, next time I hear that,
yeah.
I'm not going to start shaking in my boots. I'm going to go, ha, ha, ha. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. You can't rule over the affairs of life if fear is ruling over your heart and your mind. Amen. You can't be bold and draw back at the same time. Because that's what fear does. It makes you draw back. Did you ever notice David didn't draw back whenever Goliath said, I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to feed. David didn't go, whoa. The Bible said he ran towards Goliath. Now that's the spirit of faith right there. That's the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. And so, glory. Amen. So you're going to have to rule over fear in the spirit realm if you're going to really master things in the natural realm and take your rightful place of authority. Get your attention off the wind and the waves. Get your attention off the roar of the bear and the roar of the lion. Amen. Glory be to God. Philippians 1:28. Let's wrap this up. Philippians 1:28. In the Amplified says, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. These are not flesh and blood opponents and adversaries. These are in the spirit realm. For such consistency and fearlessness, constancy. Notice that word, constancy. Constancy kind of lends itself towards what he said first, don't for a moment. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. Now, right there's three sermons right there. You can literally put up a sign in the spirit realm to the enemy, you're doomed. You're getting nowhere here. That's right. Amen. Well, how do you put that sign up? He growls. He roars. He threatens. He imagines a mischievous device against you. He even has people tell you. They speak it for him.
They do.
And you just, rather than shaking your boots, you just stand there and say, ha, ha, ha. In other words, not for a moment. Now listen, if you've had a moment, listen, get back up. Don't be condemned, but just get back up and say, all right, that moment's over.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. I like that. Don't you like that? What to do all this, we'll just wrap this up. To do all this, you have to practice Proverbs 4:23. King James, I'll quote the Amplified, Proverbs 4:23, above all that you guard, guard your heart. I think the Amplified says something about vigilance. Do it with vigilance. Guard your heart. But it says, above all that you guard. I mean, we lock our doors to the house or the car doors or whatever. But he said, above all that you guard. Don't just protect things in the natural and leave your heart unguarded. Now, how do things get into our hearts? They get in through thoughts. And we meditate on wrong thoughts, fearful thoughts, or whatever that the enemy brings. So we're responsible for what gets into our spirits. When he said guard your heart, that means we're responsible for what gets into our spirits. To succeed really in this, you got to pay attention to your thought life. Because that's one of the doorways to your heart. You can't really afford to really succeed in faith. You can't afford to sit around and think fearful thoughts, unbelief thoughts, or for a moment. Remember Jesus to Jairus? Immediately. when the bad report came. Isn't that right? And so really, the reason that lives start going directions, now I'm not talking about all of us go through tests and trials, but they don't continue on that trajectory. But sometimes when things get into people's hearts, you can't see when it got in, but you can see their life started going a different direction.
Yes.
And I don't mean just a test or a trial. I mean the whole trajectory of their life.
Yes. Yeah.
And you just have to know something got in there, because out of the abundance of the heart, out of the heart are the issues of life, it says there. That's the verse right after Proverbs 4:23. So something got in their heart to cause their life to start going that way. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've watched it. And so Job proved that the very thing he feared came on him. Isn't that right? Really, Job didn't guard his heart. He didn't protect his heart. He let those fearful thoughts in him. If you study the whole thing, I think it was the last month we had Brother Joel Siegel's book on fear. You might have read that chapter on Job and his children. Man, that's a powerful chapter. But he just meditated on that, afraid that they had sinned and you know, were going to be destroyed or something like that, until it became a great big fear on the inside of his. So he wasn't really attending to God's word. He's attending to the voice of fear. Isn't that right? And that his attention being on that opened the door to the enemy. It gave consent to the enemy. Now listen, you might not want your life to go a certain way, but if you get afraid of something, you're giving the enemy consent to push it that way. If Satan can't just take a place, he has to be given place. Remember, give no place, neither give place to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's good enough. Did you get anything out of that? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Amen. You know what fear is? It's thinking Satan's thoughts after him. Because that spirit is talking to you, and you're taking those thoughts, and you're thinking them after him. Let's catch these things. How many of you believe we can get better at catching these things? And not 3 hours later, after a heavy cloud has gotten on us, and we're like, why am I so heavy and depressed? Let's go ahead and catch it when the thought first comes, and we say, See, the more skilled we get with these things, the earlier we'll catch them. I'm not perfect, but I'm a long ways down the road from where I used to be.